Let's stand. This is your house. This is God's house. Let's sing that this morning as we begin. This is your house. That's not it, man. Hold it. This is your house. This is your house. Father, come and dwell. This is your house. A holy house of prayer where the lost and the lonely bring their burdens and their cares. This is your house. This is your house. Come and dwell. We are your house. Father, come and dwell. We are your house, a holy house of prayer, where the lost and the lonely bring their burdens and their cares. We are your house. We are your house. Come and dwell. This is your house. This is your house. Father, come and dwell. This is your house. A holy house of prayer where the lost and the lonely bring their burdens and their cares. This is your house. Oh, this is your house. Come and dwell. Father, we believe this is your house. We believe this is your place. Because, Lord, we come and gather in your name with an expectation, Lord, and a revelation of the presence of Almighty God. And you said, Lord, you would meet us where we gather with that revelation, Lord, of your name and that expectation that we have upon our hearts, Lord, that you said you would join us, you would walk with us, Lord. And, Father God, we have had many good services and we have had many good experiences this weekend. Father, I believe many hearts have been touched and many hearts have been spoken to. But Lord, like your prophet often said, just once more, come by, Lord. May we, like those on the road to Emmaus, may we constrain you to stop and to enter in and to come and break bread with us just once more, Lord. Father God, we know that you always have something good to say to your people when they gather, Lord. And with this great message that's continuing to unfold and reveal itself, Lord God, we just can never say to stop when it comes to the revelation of the word. We just love it. We love to hear it. We love more and more. It's just doing something to us, Lord, that only the word can do. So, Lord, bless this gathering this morning. And, Father, may you meet every need and touch every heart, we pray, and anoint Brother Jason. Father, may all tiredness and weariness be chased out of the way, Lord. And may you just come and have preeminence among us today. Bless our assemblies back home, Lord. Many meeting together today, Lord, around the land. And we just commit them into your care and pray that your blessed anointing would rest upon them as well today. Father, have your way. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We are your house. Let's sing it one more time. We are your house. Father, come and dwell. We are your house, a holy house of prayer, where the lost and the lonely bring their burdens and their cares. We are your house. Do you believe that today? Oh, we are your house. Come and dwell. Praise the Lord. Shake somebody's hand near you and say, God bless you. Welcome, pilgrim. Thank God we're not in that room. And you may be seated this morning. Gideon, come on up here on the front row, if you will. Gideon. Wonderful. Don't get carried away. You'll see him again next year. Just hang on a sec down there in the front row. We got you out of that room. Six services in the one room. That's what we call close fellowship. But, hey, we enjoyed it and had a wonderful day yesterday and a wonderful day Friday, and we're just delighted. Your Roman now is probably pretty fed up, right? You just need to get his hand in the ear one more service. And somebody said if Brother Donnie hadn't preached that service, every sermon would have been about 20 minutes long. I'll tell you what, I just sat back and I was amazed at the continuity, the linkage. Sovereign, just amazing how every minister complimented one another. And now it's just, for me, it's just one big blur. I don't know who said what, but I know everything was said. I want to take home and listen to it again and enjoy it. And everything is available online, so you're certainly welcome to do that and take advantage of sharing it, give people the sight. Normally we do things, by the way, I'm just going to get these announcements out of the way. We're going to have our singing and we're going to try to go right into the ministry of the word right after the singing so we don't interrupt with a lot of announcements. So bear with me here this morning. Somebody asked me, said, I never saw a flyer, I never saw an advertisement about the men's meeting, and we normally don't. We usually do things through the website. I'm not really sure what's the absolute best way, but spreading word of mouth is normally what we do, and then putting things on the website and letting you know. Let me ask you just real quickly: how many of you found that this time frame was a good time frame? Better than later,
yes.
Right? Okay, seems pretty unanimous. This facility is very hard to get. We book 2 and 3 years out in order to get this. This is one of those places where lots of church groups and churches want to use this place, you know, for retreats and obviously for gatherings. And Susan's been real good to us, but we're very limited as to when we can get this. This was the only slot available to us outside of Thanksgiving weekend for the year 2017. It was the only one. And we found that this was great because we avoid hunting season and we avoid, sudden snowstorms and everything else. So it just happened to work out great, but it seems like it's a good time. And so we'll try to let you know in advance so that we can open it up and let you have time to spread the word allow you a chance to plan to come. Because I know it's a sacrifice and we had to make work arrangements and everything else. So we'll sure let you know. If you have any constructive criticism and ways you think we can improve this, just let me know, because we're not bound to doing it a certain way, and your suggestions are always valued, and any constructive, let me know. If you have negative criticism, tell Andrew. I'm only joking. We are always open to hearing what you have to say, because your feedback is always important. We don't always have them every year. We really do it as we're led to do it and feel like, it's meeting a need. And, I just trust that you go away with something that really will help you and be an encouragement to you. Afterwards, right after service today, the only event that we have is lunch and then farewell. And so as soon as you eat, you're welcome to take off. Some people are going to have already left. Some people are going to take off right after the service and want to get back on the road, and we certainly understand that. I want to just say very briefly that, again, that we thank all of the folks that have helped. We especially thank Andrew for his leadership in getting things going early in the game. We appreciate Brother Jeremy and the sound crew and the guys who have made the recordings for us and the website. Lucas has done a great job on redesigning the website, and so all of that's available. Our musicians here, Peter heads up our team with musicians and bringing all this gear and having it set up in two locations, you know, in that room down there and then in this room up here. So we appreciate our HBT guys and the work that they do and the support that they are. Also, too, I think it's worth just making a public word of thanks for our ministers who came and ministered to us this weekend. It's a sacrifice. I know all of these men are busy, have multiple responsibilities, and you know, for them to come and then to have taken the time to labor and study and get in that channel long before this meeting begins, that's something we really do appreciate. And trust the Lord will bless you, brothers, give you safe travels back home. We're going to take up a special offering this morning, and if you were with us last night at the end of our snack and so forth up in the room, Brother George Smith gave a testimony about how the message is actually reaching into the communities of the drug cartels in Mexico. And it's because of a broadcast that they are sponsoring in the Spanish language, which goes across the border into Mexico. Many of you were there, and so we're going to take up the offering today. And I thought it would be good for us to give that offering to Brother George toward that work specifically. So, the message can spread and reach into that group that you and I probably would never have an opportunity to reach into. And we'll do that just at the end of our song service here, and we'll give that directly to George today. And if after the fact you want to support that, you're obviously welcome to connect with him or through me if you want to do that. You know, we'll channel it directly to Brother George, and that's not a problem at all. And, Brother George, I think it would be nice, here's the string attached, I think it would be nice for you to give us an update so that we can spread that word about what things that are happening there and, you know, let us know the follow-up, you know, things that are going on, because there's obviously some exciting and controversial things that are going on in that community, and it would be nice to know, and we can spread the word. So you might want to watch the website, and we'll sure do that. So let's stand to our feet and let's sing a little bit. We didn't get to do much singing yesterday, so we're going to sing this morning. And we're going to turn it over to our new song leader this morning. And we appreciate all these young guys, young ministers that are, beginning to take the word and take part in churches. And so Gideon is going to come this morning and sing with us. And we just want you to enter in. And hey, you got nothing to lose at this point, right? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. Let's sing that this morning. The name of the Lord is... God bless you, man. Take your liberty.
Righteous run into and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into, and they are saved. Sing, blessed be His name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. Sing it again. Oh, the name of the Lord is, it's a strong tower. The righteous run into, oh, and they are saved. The name of the Lord. Strong tower, the righteous run into, and they are saved. Blessed be His name. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. Give Him a hand clap of praise this morning. He's worthy to be praised. Do you believe that? Amen. Amen. He's so great. Amen. I'd just like to personally thank the ministers and the fellowship that I've had with the men this weekend. Just has been such a blessing on my life. So I appreciate all of you that I've talked to and just your spirits. It's just a wonderful thing for my personal life. So I appreciate you all. This is one I like to sing on Sunday mornings, early Sunday mornings. Victory is mine. Amen. It just boosts me up, gets me excited. We've got to speak victory to that old Roman behind us. Amen. You believe that? Amen. Victory is mine. Oh, victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, you better get thee behind, 'cause victory today is mine. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Oh, victory is mine. A victory today is mine. Oh, I told Satan, you better get thee behind, 'cause victory today is mine. Sing that verse. When I woke up this morning, oh, I didn't have no doubt. I knew that the Lord was gonna bring me out. Hallelujah. So I got down on my knees. I said, Lord, help me please. I got up shouting victory. Oh, victory. Victory is mine. Oh, victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, you better get thee behind, 'cause victory today is mine. Peace is mine. Peace is mine. That peace is mine. Peace today is mine. Oh, I told Satan, you better get thee behind, 'cause peace today. Oh, the joy of the Lord is mine. Joy is mine. Joy is mine. Joy today is mine. I told Satan, you better get thee behind, 'cause victory. Oh, hallelujah. Victory is mine. Oh, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind, 'cause victory today is mine. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Claim it this morning. Claim your victory. Amen. He's so wonderful. You may have your seats this morning. Amen. Let's just sing As the Deer. Amen. Just worship Him this morning. If you feel like standing, if you feel like sitting, doesn't matter to me. Just worship Him. That's all we have to do this morning. Just worship Him and allow the Word to speak to you. Amen. As the deer panteth forth the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Oh, just sing it with all your heart. Oh, you strength, my shield, to you alone. my spirit yield. Hallelujah. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Could we sing the second verse? Yes, you're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are my king. I want you more than any other, so much more than anything. Hallelujah. You alone. Oh, you alone are my strength. Hallelujah. My shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Sing that again. You alone. Oh, you alone are my strength, my shield. Yes, you are, Lord. To you alone may my spirit yield. Oh, you alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary, to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. Hallelujah. Oh, he looked beyond my fall and saw my need. First verse, amazing grace. Oh, amazing grace. Hallelujah. Shall always be my song. Oh, is it your song this morning? Oh, for it was grace that bought my liberty. Oh yes, I do not know just why he came to love. Oh Lord Jesus, your grace is greater. Thank you, Lord. Oh, he looked beyond my fault and saw my need. Oh, just worship him this morning. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary. To view the cross where Jesus died for me. How it beyond my fault and saw my need. Could we just sing, I surrender all? I surrender all. Just worship Him. Oh, I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. Oh, sing it again. Conquerors. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. I believe this week we've been made more than conquerors. Amen. Hallelujah. We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. Hallelujah. Oh, we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. Hallelujah. Oh, we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Before we sing it one more time, could we have Ken Boos and Brother John come? We've been made more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Overcomers in this life. Oh, we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. One more time. We've been made, oh yes, we've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. Oh, we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Test. Amen. It's wonderful to be here. And I just wanted to say that I'm real proud of this young man. You know, 18 years old, up here leading worship at a men's meeting. Not many even seasoned song leaders would dare to try that. And this young man here is doing a fine job. And I want to recognize the musicians for their sacrifice. This song is actually, Brother John's going to sing it. I'm just going to help him. And as you know, worship isn't just about us getting up here and singing and you guys just sitting back and watching. And it's not a performance. So we're expecting participation. It's not optional. So y'all need to clap your hands, put your hands together, and sing along. The song isn't very hard. If you've never heard it, I just learned it. Brother John taught it to me, and it's really a song that really speaks to what we've heard today. It's called "Be Bold, Be Strong." Amen. So you need to put your hands together now. Come on. First,
be bold,
be bold,
be strong,
be strong,
for the Lord thy God is with thee. Be bold,
be bold,
be strong,
be strong,
for the Lord thy God is with thee. Do not be afraid, do not be dismayed. Walking in faith and victory.
Oh, I'm walking in faith and victory.
Oh, I'm walking in faith and victory.
For the Lord,
thy God
is with thee.
Be bold,
be bold,
be strong,
be bold.
For the Lord, thy God is with thee. Be bold,
be bold.
Be
strong,
for the Lord thy God is with thee. Do not be afraid.
Come on now.
Do not be dismayed.
Oh, I'm walking in faith and victory.
Oh, I'm walking in faith and victory.
Oh, I'm walking in faith and victory. For the Lord
thy God
is with thee.
Run into the camp, tell everybody, get ready,
get ready.
Oh,
run into the camp, tell everybody, get ready. Are you ready?
Are you ready
to take the land?
Are you ready to make a stand?
I am ready to take my land, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Oh, be bold,
be bold,
be strong,
be strong,
for the Lord thy God is with thee. Be bold,
be bold,
be strong,
be strong,
for the Lord thy God is with thee. Do not be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Do not be dismayed.
Don't be afraid.
I'm walking in faith and victory. I'm walking in faith and victory. I'm walking in faith and victory. For the Lord thy God is with thee. Oh, be bold.
Be bold.
Be strong,
be strong,
for the Lord thy God is with thee. Be
bold,
be bold,
be strong,
for the Lord thy God is with thee. Do not be afraid,
be afraid,
Do not be dismayed.
Don't be afraid.
I'm walking in faith and victory. I'm walking in faith and victory. I'm walking in faith and victory. For the Lord thy God is with thee.
Amen. You believe we're walking in victory?
Amen.
Amen. That tune kind of reminded me of a song we sing back at home, Every Praise is to Our God. Amen. Amen. This might be new for you, but we've been singing it for a little while, and it's all it is every praise we can sing it. I don't know if it's up there, but I can sing it for you. And all of us, Literal Life guys, we sing it, all right? Maybe lower one. Every praise is to our God, every word of worship in one accord. Every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship in one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah, oh, sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Now I like this part. He says, oh, God my Savior, God my healer, God my deliverer. Yes, He is. Oh, yes, He is. He's God my Savior, God my healer, God my deliverer. Yes, He is. Oh, yes, He is. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship in one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God. Every praise is to us. Now sing it with all your heart. He's God my Savior, God my healer, God my deliverer. Yes, He is. Oh, yes, He is. He's God my Savior, God my healer, God my deliverer. Yes, He is. Oh, yes, He is. Amen. Amen. Every praise is to our God. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. If you have breath this morning, let's praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. You may have your seats this morning. Let's have Jaron Brown come up. He has a special for us. Let's just sing You Deserve the Glory. Amen. You believe that this morning? He deserves all of our glory. He really does. He really does. Don't hold anything back. Just let Him come into, just come into that inner veil this morning. You deserve the glory and the honor, Lord, I lift my hands in worship as we bless your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor, Lord, we lift our hands in worship. Hallelujah. As we lift your holy name, 'cause you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, there is no one else like you. 'Cause you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. Oh, there is no
man. God bless you all. Count it such a privilege and honor to be standing among brethren of like faith. It's just a real encouragement to see new faces here, as well as the ones that have been coming for many years. Know that everyone's still standing strong. Amen. You know, I almost let the old Roman get a hold of me and talk me out of coming. God made a way for us to be here, and I'm thankful for that. And I was thinking about singing a special, and it's like, I'll just give somebody else, you know, a chance to sing. And for some reason, I just felt a tug at my heart, you know, and I was like, I'm going to give somebody else an opportunity, you know. And I haven't sang this song too many times. As a matter of fact, this will be the second time I've sang it. So I'm a little nervous. Pray for me. But I was sitting there in Brother Tim Dodd's first session. And it just amazes me how God will just use the little things just to confirm something to you. And when he went down Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son, I was like, okay, Lord. Okay, I get it. So y'all bear with me. I didn't give these guys much time to practice, but I believe the Lord will have a blessing in store for you if you enter in.
Saw him run was when he ran to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, my son's come home again. Lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes. With forgiveness in his voice, he said, son, do you know I still love you? He called me by surprise when God ran. The day I left home, I knew I'd broken his heart. I wondered if things would ever be the same. Then one night, I remembered his love for me. Down that dusty road ahead, I could see was the only time. Oh, glory. Was the only time I ever saw him run. And then he ran to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, "My son's come home again." Lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes. With forgiveness in his voice, he said, "Son, do you know I still love you?" He caught me by surprise, and it brought me to my knees when God ran. I saw him run to me. I was so ashamed and all alone and so far away. But now I know he's been waiting for this day. I saw him run to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, and said, "My son's come home again." Lifting my face, wiped the tears from my eyes. With forgiveness in his voice, I felt his love for me again. He ran to me, he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, and said, "My son's come home again." Lifting my face, wiped the tears from my eyes. With forgiveness in his voice, he said, "Son." Oh yes. He called me son. He said, "Son, do you know I still love you?" Oh, he ran to me. And then I ran to him. God ran. Oh, yes. When God ran. Oh, I saw him run. Took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, and said, "My son's come home again." Lifting my face, wiped the tears from my eyes. With forgiveness in his voice, he said, "Son." Oh, he called me son. He said, "Son, do you know I still love you?" It caught me by surprise, and it brought me to my knees when God ran. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I'm amazed that you love me. Would you stand with me? Oh, I'm amazed of how you care. Through your precious blood, I found pardon. Oh, and my sins are washed. They're all washed away. Oh, my sins are washed. Oh, I'm amazed. Oh, I'm amazed that you love me. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, I'm amazed of how you care. Through your precious blood, I found pardon. Thank you, God. Oh, and my sins are washed. They're all washed away. Oh, my sins are. One more time. Oh, I'm amazed. I'm amazed that you love me. Oh yes, I'm amazed of how you care. Through your precious blood, I found pardon. Thank you, God. Oh, and my sins, they're all washed. They're all washed away. Oh, my sins are washed away.
Praise the Lord. We're glad for that. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, Gideon. Brother Jaron Brown, who sang that last special, is the son of Keith Brown, the second oldest son of Keith Brown, who is the son of Homer Brown. Brother Homer Brown this year will celebrate his 90th birthday. And for some of you older fellows, he was a minister who traveled quite extensively in the country. And you know, when you think about some of the old guard, we've come to a place where none of them are moving around the country and traveling and ministering anymore. Their day is done. They've fought the fight and they've run the race. And now we see this transition, this, you know, new generation rising up. And, you know, we think about how God allows time to go on and the mantle to pass. And I really believe that part of the function of a meeting like this is to encourage young men to realize, you know, hey, if time goes on, God may be dealing with your heart, you know, and the word at this level, at the level of maturity you've been hearing, that's not just by chance. I believe God is shaping and molding your thinking and your doctrinal understanding of things for you to be able to stand in your place. And even if you're not a minister, to be able to be a leader in your church and in the mission field, and we have some folks that are quite involved in the mission work here and in your own families and so forth. So God's doing things, and we never expected to be around here this long, but we're here. So we work till the master takes us away. We work till it's over. And when it's over, he'll tell you, and you'll know. Let me just say this, too, that unfortunately there are people that don't see things the way that we do. And some of your churches have been visited by, for instance, in the last year, a couple of young men out of Canada who came and tried to inject their own views of things. And they visited many churches. They were literally kicked off properties of churches, and some were they were arrested in some places. And they were, you know, purporting to teach the message, and it was not in the spirit of the message or the spirit of Brother Branham. And they have essentially become two street preachers who are witnessing up in London, Ontario. And they are it's the equivalent of harassment, and they have harassed people on the streets of London, Ontario. The mayor of London, Ontario, supposedly, you know, using this message and calling women all kinds of names and insulting people, passers-by. And to me, it is absolutely not the appropriate way to witness this message. It is the absolute wrong way to do it. The mayor of London, Ontario, got involved, and they're trying to bring a lawsuit against these two individuals. And as a result of the ruckus that they have caused, CBC Canada, CBC Radio, got involved and did an interview about these two and played a little clip of some of the conversation they had with these two young men. And the reporter for CBC did a terrible job of research and summoned an expert witness to testify about the basis of the doctrine of these two young men, and found somebody who was absolutely against the message of the hour, and broadcast that interview on CBC Radio, which is a credible news source in Canada. I have that interview. Several of you have it, and if you want to see it, you're certainly welcome to do it. I'm not going to play it. But in this time that we live in, there are going to be people who do not understand what you believe, and they will be against what we believe. A casual Google search about William Branham will bring you all kinds of things that would shock you about what people have put on the internet about Brother Branham. In Philippians 3:18, Paul says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now are telling you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. And in Philippians 1:17, Paul says that knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel, we are the people who are commissioned to give a good witness and a positive witness about the message of the hour, even though you cannot turn the world's opinion about the gospel. You're not going to do it. Paul couldn't do it. Brother Branham couldn't do it. Jesus couldn't do it. But we are still set for the defense of the gospel. And Paul says in Acts 24, but this I confess unto you, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets. No matter what people say about the message and the gospel, it's still true. And there still has to be an army rising up to be able to stand for the truth and be a witness and a believer in all that God has said and done. And I just want to say this, that, you know, despite the fact that there are discouraging things that happen out there, there are encouraging things that happen within the body of Christ. And there are many. There are many things. There are many exciting things that are happening on the mission field. There are many things that are happening, you know, with resources like the hub, the message hub that we have. Brother Elias is here translating the Swahili language. There are 100 million people in the world who speak Swahili. And now we have the app, you know, from the hub with Swahili messages on there. And that's just a beginning, you know, for the hub to get it on an app basis. And we have the micro SD cards that we do that anyone can use anywhere in the world without connection to the internet. And Brother Jeremy over here is a system that we use in our church to copy in any language that's available to copy the message and be able to give to people anywhere in the world. And we've supplied churches in Vietnam and places in the jungle where they have no connection to the internet at all, and be able to have all the message in on their phone or on their laptops. And it's just tremendous to see those things happening. And I just want to say one thing, because it's good for us to make people aware of the resources that are out there. If you've never visited Our Daily Strength, it is a daily devotional that is written to encourage believers. I think most of you probably would be familiar with it. It is written by Brother Stephen, who's here today, and his crew, that three of the other guys are here today, and they make that available on the website and on a app-based program and so forth. And everywhere I go in the world, people, they come up to me and they say, "Hey, are you related to that guy? Do you know that guy, Stephen Coffey?" Who I say, "Yeah, I know him. I know him." And it's been a great blessing to many people all over the earth. I think they have something like 27,000 daily followers. It's a congregation of 27,000 people. Like they say, big church, big headaches. Little church, little headache. No church, no headache. That's a big church. But that's a lot of influence, and, you know, to encourage people, and it's been a blessing. So, you know, there are things that happen on the negative side, but, you know, God is still raising up young men to do great things among us, and I think it's just a wonderful thing that they're doing, and others as well, to encourage the bride of Christ. I want to bring you some prayer requests this morning, and then we're going to have Brother Anwar Javed to come. 4 years ago, October 3rd, I believe it was, Brother Anwar brought his family over from Pakistan. And he's the only person on earth that I know that has a personal letter from the Taliban threatening his life, calling him a dog because he preaches the message of the hour. And they threatened his life and tried to burn down his house and kill all of his family. And he escaped from Pakistan and has been with us for the last 4 years. And he's with us this morning. And Brother Anwar, I always think about when we had the men's meeting, think about how you arrived October 4 years ago. And we're honored to have you with us today. He's now ministering in a little assembly up in Queens, New York, and helping the people up there. Brother Clarence Pruitt has a hernia and difficulty breathing, and so we've been asked to remember him in prayer. We want to continue to remember Brother Chris's mother, who has cancer and battling stage 4 colon cancer, and as we mentioned on Friday night, so we want to remember him. We've been asked to remember a young man by the name of Nathan Gergel, and he's in Brother Jason's church in South Carolina. He's the son of Brother Don Gergel, and he is severely depressed, even looking to end his life. And so we want to remember that family this morning. We've also been asked to remember a man named Matt Van Holder, I think it is. His oldest son is battling cancer, and this trial has been putting strain on his marriage And so he's asked for prayer not only for his son, but that God would give him wisdom and guidance to know how to deal with his family. And Brother Jared Mead gave us that request, so we want to remember all of those needs this morning. Let's sing that little chorus, "It's Jesus I Really Want to See." And Brother Anmar will ask you to come and lead us in prayer this morning. Take whatever need you have upon your heart as well. Hold it there. And let's just ask the Lord to meet those special needs that we've been asked to remember this morning. Let's stand to our feet and let's sing together. It's Jesus I really want to see. It's Jesus I really want to see. And the more I see of this world, the less it means to me. For it's Jesus.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our hearts. Praise Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, how privileged we are, Lord Jesus, that we can say you are our Father.
Yes, Lord.
And Father always care his people, always care his sons and daughters. And you see all our needs, Lord Jesus. You know we are needy people, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord Jesus, there is only one throne, there is only one place where we can come and bow ourselves with the whole confidence and belief and trust.
Yes.
Then you can make everything possible for your people.
Yes, Lord.
Lord Jesus, how privileged we are that we can listen your promises, Lord Jesus, and you repeat it over and over again and make sure we understand how you love us, Lord. Lord Jesus, with the same trust and belief, today, Lord Jesus, we all, your sons, bow ourselves in front of your throne, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And bring all these needs to you, Lord. All that needs that are read over here and all that are that we have on our hearts, Lord Jesus. In the families, financial needs,
yes,
any sort of need, Lord Jesus, we have. You are well aware of that, Lord Jesus. Visit your people, Lord Jesus, right now, today, in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord. I plead, Lord. Grant these needs, Lord Jesus. The sick and the people who are affected in the physical body, Lord Jesus. Touch them. Give them comfort, Lord Jesus. Heal them, Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, all that our families, our friends are suffering, are the people who are here, Lord Jesus. We all have something that we brought to you, Lord Jesus, today. Lord Jesus, in your precious name, Lord Jesus, bless your people and meet all the needs. That's what we desire, Lord Jesus. We want to worship you, Lord Jesus. We magnify your name, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise mighty Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for all your kindness and mercies. We ask everything in your precious Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Brother Andrew. Amen. Let's take our offering this morning. If our deacons would come today. This offering will go entirely to the broadcast that goes into Mexico. Brother Andy, if you would pray for us this morning. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord.
Let us never forget.
Amen and amen. Does anybody know about the love of Jesus? I do. Let's sing that this morning. Anybody know about the love of Jesus? I do. I do. Anybody know about the love of Jesus? I do. Yes, I do. Sing it again now. Does anybody know about the love of Jesus? I do. I do. Anybody knows about the love of Jesus? I do. You may be seated. Yes, I do. The love of Jesus. Did anybody know about the love of Jesus? Anybody out here know about the love of Jesus? I do. Yes, I do. Anybody know about the love of Jesus? I do. Yes, I do. The grace of Jesus. Does anybody know about the grace of Jesus? I do. Yes, Lord, I do. Anybody know about the grace of Jesus? I do. Yes, I do. Praise the Lord. We're going to turn it to Brother Jason directly here. We're going to sing that little chorus, Have Your Way. And years ago when I first talked to the brothers about doing this meeting, little meeting together, contacted Brother Jason and he said, count me in. And a couple of months ago when we talked about doing this meeting this year, I sent him a text and said, hey, looks like we're going to go ahead and do the meeting, Lord willing, this year. He sent me a text and he said, count me in. Same thing. Same level of enthusiasm to minister to men. Let me just tell you a little something. Years ago when we had our first gathering or two, there was a little bit of an outcry among the women. And they said, hey, if you can have a men's meeting, why can't you have a woman's meeting? And I thought to myself, wow, never thought of that. I didn't think I could find a woman preacher. I was wrong. Somebody's sister said, hey, you know, we feel left out. And then I had a letter from a minister's daughter. And she said this to me, and I kept it. I wrote it down. I kept it because it was so fitting. And this is what she said. She was single. She's married now and has a couple of kids. But she was single back then, and she said this. She said, Brother Barry, I'm glad that there's a men's meeting. And I hope my future husband will attend one of these. Because if he learns how to be a real man of God, then in my life, I will find my correct position. That, to me, is better than having a woman's meeting. I thought, wow, that's the right attitude. She said, if my husband can go to that and learn something about being a real husband, then that will in turn lead me to my right place. And she said, that's better than having anything else. And she was praying for the men's meeting. It was years ago. And she found herself a husband, godly man. I think that's to me, it's a biblical thing to encourage men in the way of God and the order of God, for men to find their place. And in God's order of things, I believe that it has the power to be able to draw women into their place and families and children into their places. So we're just, you know, in a sense, you know, you think about all that God does in times like this and weekends like this. It'll never be like this again. It'll never happen like this again. Amen. And it's a unique thing, unique congregation and a unique set of ministers and unique messages that have been brought. It'll never happen again. This is it. And, you know, we are blessed, I think, to be here. I feel blessed to be here. I feel full. I feel like my cup's running over. But we got a room for just a little more. Have your way. Have your way as Brother Jason comes this morning. Brother Jason, we are honored to have you with us. Have your way. Why don't we stand and sing it this morning?
Bless you, brothers. Good morning. Amen. Yes, still morning. Praise the Lord. Still morning. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Oh, now a real professional. All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. A real, real, amen, privilege to be here and just have been enjoying, so enjoying. I don't hear me so well. If I can get a little bit more monitor. Oh, you don't hear me? You don't hear me? They don't hear me, guys. Amen. Now, I've preached without PA before. I can do it again. Amen. Hey, let's just stop fooling around. We'll just use the handheld and go right on. We're not going to let technology defeat us. Good?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow, I hear that good now. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. We didn't, during the blizzard, which I tactfully avoided, I had to stay back that year, and I guess you guys had power out, but they said it didn't stop anybody, didn't stop. They were making comments about Brother Tim Dodd. He just pressed right through it, and everybody had felt like almost a greater blessing. Amen. And so, I just am looking for what the Lord has for us today. And my goal, of course, is to quickly move aside and let him be the speaker. Sure have enjoyed, wow, have I ever enjoyed the ministry, amen, that's come forth. And I agree, count me in for this time slot. I think it's better. And this, the way it's been set up, it's been really good. Amen. From Brother Aaron's very first opening service, I gleaned so much from that, and then Brother Donnie following on. I don't know how well y'all know Brother Donnie. I've known him a long time. We've been mates for a while, and I remember one of the first times I ever got to meet him. We were at a funeral of Brother Billy Andrews. Brother Donnie, I think we were sitting side by side at Brother Billy's funeral, and that's back in the day. Brother Henry was still alive, and they were going to take up one of those offerings where you had to put $100 in. And me nor Brother Don, neither one had $100 on us. I think I had probably $5, and he had probably $20. But we put it together and figured out with some other brothers, and we got the offering put in. But I've never seen him lay down on the platform. and lay over and wag his little tail. I thought, yeah, Carol's not here. No live streaming. Amen. So I've never seen him quite let his hair down like that. He's got plenty to let down, but I've never seen it let down like that. Amen. And my goodness, so much I gleaned from Brother Tim and Brother Mike and those services. I just could have kept going and kept going. I appreciated. Brother Sam came the closest to getting on to my material. Well, let me say the material I wanted to preach, which got totally flipped and canceled, and the Lord made me preach something completely new. But I was so appreciating, you know, the emphasis, and I found a great affinity there in his text in Genesis 1. I thought how remarkable that it was in that verse 30 where, you know, all the dominion is given to God's family. And it was over every beast of the earth and every fowl of the air. And finally it says, to everything that creepeth and wherein there is life. And I thought, you know, it's amazing that everything related to life is given to the dominion of the family of God. Oh, my friends, I'm afraid we don't live up to our full potential. And I think that's what these meetings do. They come along to help us to see more clearly. As always, I enjoyed Brother Paul last night. I found myself wishing, you know, he said, how many people are here? You know, I forget the name of his church. And I wanted to raise my hand. I've always thought, man, I'd love to be a part of Brother Paul's church. Amen. I could sure sit under him. That wouldn't be hard at all. But, you know, there's something to be said about his remark there in the renewing of your mind. You know, that's only that word is only used twice in the Greek. And Paul uses it both times. Once there where Brother Paul read in Romans. And then Paul uses it in his letter to Titus. And he says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration. And here it is. And renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So I'm going to tell you something. There's no renewing of your mind apart from the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. It can't be a psych job. Amen. So we have just so enjoyed it. And I want to look at our text today in 2 Thessalonians 2. And I want to take an odd title today, a sermon I've never preached anywhere. And the Lord laid it on my heart Friday night, and I always promise him, and I've always kept that promise. I've failed him in about every other thing, but that's one promise I've always kept, that if I knew, and there was no question, and I knew that he told me what to preach, I'd always preach it. And it wouldn't matter the condition or the circumstance or what I wanted to preach. I'd always follow him, whatever he told me. And I've always been able to keep that these many years ministering. And, when you have something like that, you can stand in perfect faith. See, because then the devil can't challenge me. He can't challenge perfect faith. Because I can just say, Lord, you know, I've always kept that. And the Lord does know. And I know. And the devil knows. And so it's an opportunity for perfect faith. Second Thessalonians, I want to take a title, The Great Age of Lying. Now, not in the sense that, you know, I was telling some of the brothers last night, I said, not in the sense of the lie, the great lie, because that's far too narrow. My focus is going to be much broader than that today. It'll include that, but it'll be much broader than that. And I'm not in the sense that lying is a great thing, but I'm meaning in the sense that there's so much of it. It is so pervasive, and so I want to call it the Great Age of Lying. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we'll get verse 6 through verse 12. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. This he is, of course, Christ in the bride when she goes in the rapture. Verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You can see that this age is primed to be the greatest age of lying of all time. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Brother Branham shows that it's actually the lie, the original lie, that they might all be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Let's bow our heads. Master, we thank you ever so kindly for our opportunity this morning to be a defender of the faith, to earnestly contend for the same gospel that the apostles taught. What a privilege, what an honor it is. Lord, the real problem is, as it always is my extreme unworthiness, Lord. But Father, which one of us would be worthy to really stand in your presence? Not one of us, Lord. And yet you've chose this method. You've chose the foolishness of preaching. It seems a paradox, Lord, that you would use imperfect men to perfect other imperfect men. But Father, we realize that it's the word being ministered through an office, through a gift. And the gift is not the man. The gift only resides in him. And it's the master's gift, and he will operate it at his pleasure. So, Father, I stand here this morning, and as is my way to imagine it, Lord, it helps me, Father, to understand my place in this drama. And they sang a song. They invited the minister to come, and I just followed you up here. And that's all I know, and that's all I want to know, and that's all I've done, and that's all I can do. And I just stand here now, Lord. It's completely into your hands. I commit it to you. You receive all honor, all glory, all praise to you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, friends. You can be seated. It's interesting how that the Bible speaks of the lying wonders of this day and the deceivableness, and not just some deceivableness as in past ages, but this is the age of all deceivableness of unrighteousness. And, you know, I ministered at home fairly recently about how that the world, you know, has come to its full, complete darkness, which is a perfect contrast to the fullness of the word. And we realize that Brother Branham tells us how that, in a reminder that it's the same gospel that saved Noah destroyed the world. And the same gospel that takes you in a rapture becomes a judgment rod to the world. And so in all of this extreme darkness of the world, a complete darkness, and in fact is gross darkness on the people, that we ought to be rejoicing, because then that means that our light has come to its perfection. And now, as the world is becoming the perfect manifestation of Antichrist, then there must be, by the law of contrast, there must also be a bride who's coming into her perfection. And we have many quotes where, and I could read them this morning, but I would distract myself from the burden on my heart if I were to read too much. And I'm not going to use PowerPoints today because it'll slow me down, and I don't want to take too long. But lying is rampant. Lying is everywhere. Lying is in politics. And, you know, we know that, and we don't even... You know, it's not even tongue in cheek. It's just the brass tacks of it. The politicians expect you. They know that you expect to be lied to, and they even will tell all of their lies and then get on the same national television, and when they're asked about these questions, well, you said this about your opponent, you said this, and now you've defeated them, and now you're maybe going to need to pick a running mate from all of these despicables.
And you know, the right of way said, well, you know, that's just politics. That's just running. You're trying to win at all costs. And it's gotten so blatant that everybody just kind of looks around and goes, yeah. You know, they lie, we lie, we all lie. And I've always said, you show me an overly suspicious man and I'll show you a dishonest man. Because they just expect that everyone lies. And, you know, it doesn't occur to a son of God to lie. It just doesn't occur to you. It goes beyond a thought. You know, even in times of extreme stress and you're put on the moment, there right away, you know, that old dirty Roman, right away, he'll quickly tell a lie to get himself out of a jam. But that son of God will stand up and go, hold on there, son. You're going to tell the truth. And if you don't, you're going to come back here and confess this thing. You better just go ahead and turn red in the face now and suffer your humiliation, or it'll be double when you have to come and confess it. Because I'll drive sleep from you. I'll wreck your job. I'll wreck everything. I'll put sickness on you. But you're going to fix that. So Brother Branham said, tell the truth. You can always tell it the same way. Lying in politics, lying in commerce, the lies of global in business and the greed of Wall Street and the lies and the pharmaceutical companies and the banking system and the insurance industry and the court system, judicial, all of these things. We know I'm sure Brother Aaron has to deal with the dishonesty that is always in that system. You're always trying to work around it and try to find your way back to justice. And Brother Branham says, in his day, there is no more justice. Social trends are a big fat lie. They get on and, post everything on every social media outlet they can, and they show themselves as happy and living it up and carefree. What they don't show is when they're, you know, in the bathroom throwing their guts up, or in a dark room injecting themselves, or, you know, emptying a bottle because they can't face the next day. And the cameras are going to be rolling, and they've got to put on the, and they put on a positive face until they don't. Until they can't. Then the truth comes out. No one takes the blame for anything these days. No one ever admits guilt. Every company that gets found out that they were cheating and scamming the system, and even to the degree that they were cheating little old ladies out of their life savings, and no one has to admit guilt, no one goes to jail, they just pay a fine. No one takes responsibility anymore. Husbands won't take responsibilities for broken marriages. Fathers won't take responsibility for a wrecked home and wild teenagers. And preachers won't take responsibility for rampant carnality in their churches. I'm here to tell you something, friends. It's time to be honest in the presence of the Lord. Brother Branham talks about how that the real spirit, the spirit on the real believer is to say, I'm wrong. And when we find ourselves coming up short, oh my, would to God that we wouldn't just, you know, slink back in and fall into the trend of the world and say, oh, it must be my parents' fault, or it must be the pastor's fault, or, you know, if that deacon hadn't have spoke to me like that, if I hadn't have got treated that way, and oh my goodness, where, you know, you want to say, come on, quit yourselves like men. Let's stand up and throw our shoulders back and say, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's actually not my brother or my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. False prophets are lying. God's truth, they're denying that Jesus Christ is our God. We live in an age of epic lying. Quickly, these few quotes while your minds are fresh. Brother Branham, in God's provided way, I'll just give you a little chronological overview here. And he's talking about the little boy that snuck around there behind the chimney to smoke a silk cigarette, and his mama catches, he eats coffee so it's not on his breath, and his mama says, have you been smoking? No, mama. Brother Branham says, what was the first thing? That conscience says, don't do that, little boy. You're lying. But you fought right on past the conscience. No, Mama, I didn't smoke. See? He says, there's God's first provided way for you to stop right there. That's a, and I never heard him use this term, that's a halt light. See? Stop. Don't say that. Tell her the truth. If you get a whipping, go ahead and tell the truth about it. Watch where it leads to. The next thing, you go to church and you hear the hymn sang, the gospel preached and something, and the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you, come repent. And you say, oh, I'm young. I got plenty of time. I got this. I've got to do this, that. See, you're rejecting God's provided way and judging yourselves. So lying to others progressed to lying to yourself. See. In the Message 1955, Dr. Moses, you wasn't made to tell lies. Begins talking about the lie detectors, and it's a machine. And if you're not telling the truth, it'll show you're lying. There's a pressure on your nerves, the energy, which the soul of man that wasn't made in the beginning to lie, but to be truthful. He goes on in enticing spirits. He says, Brother Bram says, I'd rather have a drunkard with me any day than a liar. There's something, a subconscious down in a human being, and that subconscious knows what's the truth. And no matter what you're saying out here, the subconscious knows that it's a lie. It'll register off the subconscious. Therefore, if a man or a woman could ever get their thoughts, listen to this, friends. If a man or a woman could ever get their thoughts and their testimony and their lives so lined up with God until the channel of the Holy Spirit will be perfectly one with God, what would take place? If the man or woman could ever get lined up where the freedom from their heart with faith from the innermost, what could happen? If that lying will register on a machine, what would that harmony of the Holy Ghost register in this world on people's lives and your loved ones? 1958, lifting him up out of history, he says, be honest now, don't lie to God. You're not lying to God. He knows you're lying to yourself. You know, a lie is such a horrible thing. 1959, what hearest thou, Elijah, if you're lying? He says, what good does it do? Listen to this, preachers. Well, all of you, because you're probably going to be praying for a wife or praying for children or praying for a church. He says, what good does it do you to put your hands on the sick and ask for healing if you're lying? See, you got to be honest, friends. 1961, you must be born again when the Bible says it's impossible for God to lie because he's the very fountain of all truth. 59, as I thought on my ways, he says he's got a sister in a prayer line. Will you accept it, sister? You all. Thank you, honey. If you're spiritual and God will open your eyes, look, hanging about 2 foot above that child there. See that light? There, here she is. There comes a vision. It's something other. It's a heart trouble. I see a doctor looking over her heart. She's got a heart trouble. Is that right? Let the mother raise her hand. Put your hand over on the child. Satan, watch him now. Speaking now to the devil. Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, you're exposed. Your lying scheme is over. It's over, friends. If the devil is lying to you today, I don't care in what realm, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, financial, in whatever way he might be lying to you today, there is one here who can expose the lie and put the truth in play. I think about the lie that has come about in these last several years over attacking the message and attacking its teachings and attacking the prophecies and attacking the character of Brother Branham and different things. And you know, I don't want to go down that path because it'll get me in the wrong frame of mind. But you know, I was speaking to one of their ringleaders, if I'd call him that, and one of the earliest ones who was out posting YouTube videos and condemning this and condemning that. And it's amazing to me with all the knowledge they have of the beast system and the false prophet and the Pope of Rome and all of the things that go on in there. And they don't have any time to put a video on about that. Instead, they actually attack a movement that produces good godly people and good godly homes and good godly teenagers. And they attack that. But you have to be able to sleep at night. You have to settle your own conscience that you're right. So I get it. I've often said at least they finally get to the point. The Bible says that they will actually believe the lie. So I just said, well, at least the silver lining is they stop being hypocrites eventually. But I was speaking to one of them, and he had been a close friend, and he just starts asking me about all of these things. You know, does any of this information we found out and, you know, give you pause? And I said, goodness, no, it only anchors me more and more and more. I said, wow. He said, well, you know, but what about all the flaws that we found in Brother Branham as a character? I said, well, a lot of it, of course, is trumped up nonsense. I said, but even things that you could point to where the man was a sinner saved by grace, it only gives me more hope. It gives me a chance to say, wow, maybe I can make it too. And I said, look, man, I said, here's the deal. I said, here's what I really have a problem with you. And he said, what's that? And I said, you know, they're coming on here and they're taking quotes, little snippets of quotes. Brother Branham would say, you know, I said a woman wasn't worth a good bullet to shoot her with. And that's it. And I hated women. And that's all they say. You know, and hello, Miss Dog Meat. And there's no context. And they're posting that to an unknowing world. A world that don't know the context. They don't know how he had said right after that, but now a good woman is a jewel in his crown. It's the greatest thing God could ever give a man outside of his salvation. They don't put that on there, friend. And I was telling this former friend, I said, they don't put that on there. They are intentionally, with malice and forethought, intentionally maligning a man's character and presenting to an unknowing world a complete misrepresentation of who he is, and they know it. And I said, and you support them. I said, how can you do that when you know that's not how he was, and you know they know? And you're actually helping them and holding hands with that thing. I said, I don't see how you sleep at night. How have you joined yourself to something that you yourself can see is false and is obviously not of God? And as usual, he had no answer, just deer in the headlights. But Brother Branham comes in his ministry and he says in 1962, is this the sign of the end, sir? Now, the first pull was little bitty birds in flights. They went on to meet the time, meet the coming of the Lord, the first message. The second time, the secrets of the heart, from taking a person by the hand and just standing there and saying what they had. The next time it revealed their sins and told them what to do. And is that right? He says to the congregation. Then that come to pass perfectly, and just as God said it, and you are witnesses, and so is the world, and so is the church. And when I said, I saw an angel, and it was an emerald fire burning, people laughed and said, Billy, get next to yourself. The magic scientific eye of the camera took it. I wasn't lying. I was telling the truth. God vindicated it. I said, darkness overshadows, it's death, black, and this is white. One is life, the other one is death, and there it is on the picture back there. George Lacey said, the mechanical eye of this camera won't take psychology. He says, are you following me? Congregation says, amen. Notice the first little flight. Now, he wanted them to notice something. Notice the first little flight. Hand. The second was greater, whiter, doves. Holy Spirit revealing the secrets of the heart. And the third flight was angels, not birds. Angels. And that's the end time. That's all of it. So now here Brother Branham comes to his commission. And it's prophecy that ultimately is going to cover three poles of his ministry. And the first two of which will draw the attention of the world to a coming message. That's what they were sent for. He said, these gifts don't heal anyone. It just helps them faith. It's just bait on the hook. So we find that the first two draw the attention of the world to a coming message. But the message, when the message came and the seals are open, then the message would usher in a third pull that was very distinct from the first two. A pull unique in its purpose and very unique in who can receive it. It will not be a public show in one sense that it is not to the public. So it's not going to be a public show in the one sense that it's not to the public. But on another sense, it will be, in fact, a very public demonstration of the Word made flesh, because that's the token on display. It will go largely unobserved by the world because of the blindness of the age and gross darkness on the people, but it must manifest to souls in prison now.
See?
And so it's exclusive, and I'm using these words very, very intentionally. Its exclusive manifestation is among the elected. Because there is no impersonation possible by Satan. This is not just something to attract attention. This isn't a little bird and then bigger birds and whiter and they're doves. And this isn't a bait. This isn't to draw the attention of the world. This isn't going to be a public duplication. They're not going to be able to impersonate this. This is something unique to an elect lady of the age. And it's going to be something that's going to go down and live inside of her. It's not about, you know, it's not about attracting the attention of the world. It's not a bait to attract all kinds of mixed multitude. It's angels. It's not birds. It's angels. It's the ministry of the Son of Man. It's a final voice to a final age. It's the Word made flesh again. Brother Branham says, and look away to Jesus, 1963, it was promised in the last days that as the angel of God was dwelling in a human body that came up just before Sodom burned, he sat with his back turned to the tent where Sarah was and told Abraham what she was thinking in the tent. God in a human flesh, wearing human clothes. And that's the only way God can do it today, is when he gets in your flesh. Not just William Branham's flesh. Your flesh. How many receive that today? When he gets in your flesh, showing. See, it's not a public demonstration, but it is a token on display. Showing that God would be manifested in human flesh. And Brother Branham comes on in the trial. I challenge you to believe that Jesus Christ is revealed in the form of the Son of Man in human flesh through the bride's body. He says, accept his call. It's a fair question to all of us today. It's a fair challenge. And the prophet and the same message is echoing to you today. The same challenge that is here today is to say, will you, my brothers, believe that the Word has now returned in the bride's body, in human flesh? Will you accept this call? You won't accept it with dishonesty. This calls for men to be real men. I remember, and I often comment about it, back in the early days, the very first one we ever held in Virginia. And I think I had preached the very first time. I think probably because over the years, and I've been to most of them and usually preach one or two, I probably have preached singularly as one preacher more than anybody at these. Because just in counting up, there's other ones who have preached quite a bit also. But I remember taking that whole idea of what is a real man. And we concluded that you can't get around the fact that a real man is a man living in the image of his Creator. Because God said, let us make man in our image. And so that's a real man. When you've got a man living in the image of his creator. Outside of that, you're not a man, because we found out man wasn't a gender. Manhood. Manhood's not a gender. Manhood's an office. It bespeaks character. It bespeaks honesty. It bespeaks integrity. Oh my, hallelujah! There's no way. That's why Brother Brandon would say, I've seen men 200 pounds, 6 foot, 200 pounds, didn't have an ounce of man in them. You don't get to be a man just because you're a male. You might be a 50-year-old male, a 70-year-old male, and have never been a man. So he says, I challenge you. I challenge you to believe that Jesus Christ is revealed in the form of the Son of Man in human flesh through the bride's body. Accept his call. You know, I reflected and thought back over the years of these gatherings and what they've meant. And, you know, Brother Barry talking about the inception, the whole idea of bringing it on. And it wasn't, you know, just, it was more than a few. A lot of men were beginning to feel this burden. And Brother Barry had been almost brainstorming with himself how to bring this to pass. And different ones had this idea. And I remember Brother John Brooks had such an original idea to bring men together. And can we have a time where we come together and teach us as young men, which is what it originally started out to be, was going to be a young man. And then some of the older men who felt young said, well, I feel young enough. I want to be there too. And the next thing you know, all of them wanted to come. And then they're coming from all over the country. Now they're coming from different parts of the world. What a glorious thing God has done. And I remember preaching one night on a devotion, a late devotion, which I, one of the few that I remember doing that. And, you know, I took an idea about Abraham's ticking time bomb. I don't know if any of y'all were there, remember it, but quite a number of years ago. And you know how that it was amazing, how that Abraham, when he moved under the word of God, and it's interesting to note that God would only speak to Abraham as he obeyed. God initially came out of just sheer grace and sovereign divine will of God. And God spoke to him and said, now here's what I want you to do. And Abraham went to do it. And then he gets hung up in Haran, and then he's there 10 years, and then he finally goes and obeys God, and then God speaks again. And you'll notice the pattern that every time he would obey, God would speak again. And until he obeyed, God just wouldn't say another thing. A lot of times people say, you know, God used to talk to me. I used to have this kind of a prayer life I used to have. Well, what happened, my brother? What happened in your life that God sent you on a pilgrimage? God sent you on a journey. That's all this life is. Anyway, you're not from here. You're not staying here. I didn't start here. I'm not ending here. I came from God. I'm going back to God. Oh, hallelujah, friends. What lays ahead for this family? And, you know, but Abraham, he had this issue of lying. And this issue of, he had an honesty problem. And it only happened when he got in a jam. I guess I can understand it a little bit. He'd get in a jam and, you know, a famine comes there in the promised land, and he backslides and goes down into Egypt. And Brother Branham said, anytime a Jew leaves promised land, he's backslid. And he goes down in there because he didn't trust God. And so he backslides, runs down to Egypt, you know, for food and for shelter. But then he said he knows right away, I've got a beautiful wife and they're going to try to kill me to get her. And so he says, listen, when I tell them you're my sister, don't think it's strange. Just kind of play along with it. And the Pharaoh, indeed, is, wow, this is a beautiful woman. And who is she? Oh, she's my sister. And Pharaoh right away is making his plot to take her in marriage. And here's Abraham lying to save his skin. But God, rich in mercy, exposed him. Oh, I'm so glad God exposed me one day. I'm so glad he came right to my address and got in my face and said, you've been lying about who you are. I said, who am I, Lord? He said, you're a son of God, and you're supposed to be acting like a son of God. I didn't put you here to be like everybody else. I didn't put you here to go with the trends of the world. I didn't save you at an altar and say, all right, you're saved, see you in heaven. No, I put you here with an express purpose to be a lighthouse, to be a mirror of my word, to shine forth the life of God. That's why we're here, brothers. Oh my, if I perish, I perish, but let me glorify God in my life. And, you know, he finally, God exposed him and he's run out and, oh, the consequences of that. He ends up with Hagar, the Egyptian maid. And we know how what that cost him, and Israel's still paying for that one. My goodness, to this day. And we find out that, you know, he goes along again and right away, even God now is going to begin to do great miraculous things and change his body and turn him back young and turn his wife young. And you find him again. But you know what happens? Everything is going along good until he's in another jam. And now here's a Philistine leader, king. And he's, hey, who's this woman? She's my sister. Oh, wonderful. Okay. She's your sister. Great. And in the middle of the night, fortunately for that king, fortunately, God can show, you know, a remnant that who aren't part of the elect of Israel. They're not there. He's never going to be the seed of Abraham, but he could be a remnant, and he's a righteous man. And God comes to him to warn him. He says, Lord, you know the integrity of my heart. And God says, yeah, I do. You're lucky. I do know the integrity of your heart. That integrity is going to save your life. Because the man you've got, the woman you've got that you're going to marry is actually his wife. And at this point, there'll be, I'm going to afflict everything. You're all a bunch of dead people. Your civilization will go out of existence unless you return that woman to her husband. And then when you get there, you're going to have to get that lying prophet. I'm quoting Brother Branham. You're going to have to get my lying prophet to pray for you, or I won't even hear your prayer. Hallelujah. What happened? Abraham kept walking around with this little ticking time bomb. And he thought he had it under control. And how many times we can think, oh, I got it under control. I got it now this time. I'll never go to that website again. I'll never tell that kind of lie again. I'll never do that. I'll never let in my business again, buddy. My business is going to be straight on. And I'm never going to lie to my wife. And I want to tell you something, friends. You better be careful that there's not a ticking time bomb down in there. Just waiting for the next moment for Satan to line up the stars and planets and put you in a fix. And we find that Abraham say, Brother Jason, what was the answer? There was only one answer. You find, friends, that Abraham had all, and I'm going to show you this, the type of it. Abraham carried these ticking time bombs. He believed God. He loved God. He believed his word. He had left. He had went out. He had become a pilgrim. He confessed. And when he was caught, and when he was caught anyway, and he goes right along. But you know what? God had made him a promise. You're going to have a son. And no, it's not going to be Eliezer. It's going to be somebody that comes out of your own gene line. It's not going to be the servant. It's not going to be the one born in your house. It's not going to be the one born in your house. It's not going to be that old Roman. He's not going to inherit. The Son of God in you is going to inherit. Amen. You're going to bring forth a son. Hallelujah. I'm going to make your seed innumerable. And through that son, I'm going to save the whole world. And Abraham carried that ticking time bomb around in him and constantly stumbled at it and half measured, halfway served God and halfway then moved on and then lied and then got caught and then lied again, then got caught. But let me tell you, once the son was born, once Isaac came on the scene, you don't find in the record of Genesis, Abraham never had another lie. Abraham never had another problem because the son was born. And I'm here to tell you, there's only one way that you can put that Roman in his place. Let the Son of God be born in you. Always a problem with, you know, a lack of the indwelling Holy Ghost. God could certainly come down and speak to a prophet, could come down and anoint him and dwell in him. But the problem was that in the Old Testament, because there had not been a sacrifice of the Lamb of God, the Holy Ghost couldn't remain in him. So this is why John, the identifier, what John was told is, whomever you see the Holy Ghost come and remain. That's the prototype. That's the new beginning of a new creation. I'm going to build a brand new kind of person. A brand new kind of person who can come and be born of a woman. That's why he's the only begotten of the Father. And can be born of a woman who can be built from the dust of a cursed earth. And he can age and he can get sick and he can be tempted in all wise. But in everything, he's going to say, I do always that which pleases the Father. And he, on behalf of you, has totally satisfied the debt you were born under before God. It wearied David. Brother Branham said it wearied David. He knew that he always kept God's word. He said, I've hid your word in my heart and I keep it before my face and I tie it to my bedpost. And Brother Branham said, but the thing that wearied David is he never could really make that life live out like he knew it should. There was something in him as a son of God that he just knew it, and it wearied David. I'm so glad today I don't have to suffer David's weary. I'm here to tell you today, you don't have to go on suffering David's weary. You don't have to leave a meeting like this and say, oh, the word I heard, it was so good. I wish I could live up to it. I wish I could be like those other men. But I know when I get home, forget what you think you know. I'm here to tell you, like Brother Mike said, I believe miracles are going to take place in our lives as we leave here. And I would say today, take a testimony and say, onward, Christian soldiers marching. As to war, I'm gonna let Christ live and project through me. I preached a sermon recently at home that I thought I might borrow from some of it, and I'm not really going to, but just one point. I preached a sermon called Being Jacob, the son of Isaac. And what a Brother Branham said, you could never doubt election when you read the life of Jacob. Said, if you ever get to doubting election, just go read his life. A liar, a shyster, cunning, tricks his own brother. You know, and here and in Esau, you know, he's a man of the field, which meant he's a man of the world. He's the unconverted, and he comes in and literally his brother Jacob is going to play the part of Lucifer, and he's going to entice him through weakness of his own flesh. And he's going to fix him a stew, a delicacy, and here comes a man so hungry from the world because the world can't fill you up. You go out in the world, go ahead, go out there, eat on the world, drink on the world all you want, but you'll come back thirsty and starving and anemic. And here he comes back out of the field and he's ready to die because the world has no sustenance that can keep him alive. And now here Jacob is going to play to his weakness. And so one commentator said it's amazing that the great hunter got caught in the trap of a better hunter. And he goes off lying and God's appearing to him and he's still lying and God's talking to him and God shows him a dream and the ladder's coming down and God's standing at the top talking to him and I'm going to do this and I'm going to take you there and I'm going to bring you back. I mean, God's showing him predestination. I'm going to take you and I'm going to bring you back here. Just the same thing he told Abraham. You're going to come back to me in a good old age. I'm here to tell you, when Abraham went down to fight those guys, he knew I can't die. I don't even need these 300 servants. I'd kill them all myself. They can't kill me because God said I'll come back to him in a good old age. I'm indestructible. See? And Jacob, and in all of his trials, and here what was amazing to me, and I just want to come to this point, is that he had already had every promise of God, and God, he didn't even need. Rebecca didn't need to get him to lie. That didn't need to happen. God was already going to put that birthright in reverse. God was already going to do that. You know what happened, Rebecca? You know what Rebecca showed? Is that lying in the parents moves to the children. And then the children, it moves into the grandchildren. And it was his children, her grandchildren, who caused Jacob all of his problems. Because they knew of this lack of integrity in Papa. These seeds, listen, brothers, everything you do, everything you think and say is a seed. And it grows a crop. And he's got the promise. I'm going to take you here. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to bring you back here. And yet, instilling all that, he's still conniving to get ahead. He's still lying for gain. He's still, pulling fast deals to get advantage. And then he gets into a cheating war with his daddy-in-law and who can cheat who the quickest. And oh my goodness, the whole thing goes crazy. Until finally he's even having to sneak out in the middle of the night and run for his life with his family. And then his daddy finds out about it and runs after him with an army. And they're going to have a killing here and they catch him in the wilderness. You know what? And finally he figures out a way to mitigate that. And he escapes again by the skin of his teeth. And then he comes and he hears a word. Esau's coming. And now you know what? No more lies. Now, hey, what can I say? What can I do? I just now escaped my life. I can't go back there. I'm a dead man. I can't go forward. I'm a dead man. If I sit here, I'm a dead man. I got nowhere else to run. I got no other lie I can tell. I got no other scheme I can do. I want to tell you something, friends. He comes there in the middle of the night and he sets his family across, you know the story, and he crosses back over and he's alone when God comes to confront him. And I would to God that he is confronting you and I in these meetings. It was God confronting him. All he did was cross the river and show up at the right place. All you did was get in a truck or get in an airplane and you came here, and I'm here to tell you God has confronted us. Why? Because God, here's the simple fact. God loves you too much to leave you like you are. Hallelujah! And he got Jacob to a point and got him in a fight and got him in a wrestling match. I'm here to tell you something, friends. I said to my church, I'm sure that Jacob was so tired of being Jacob. I would to God that all of us here today could say, I'm so tired of being me. I don't want to be me anymore. I want to be him. I'm so sick of my thinking. I want to have his thinking. That's when you can get a hold of God. That's how Jacob got a hold of God. He got sick of being Jacob. You know, when I was a kid, I used to watch Saturday cartoons. Yeah, unfortunately. There were fits and starts where we'd sometimes have a TV in the house, and then conviction would come and out it would go. And then, you know, it'd get a little cold again and hear it come back in. And you know, fortunately there were, and I don't want to malign my parents, they're wonderful believers of the message and they always kept a great watch over things. But I'm finally glad to say they finally kicked it out for good. And, you know, I decided very quickly on when I start having kids, man, that's not going to be a part of my household. And, man, I had a guy one time on the job. He almost got mad, wanted to fight me because of that. He said, how dare you? That's child cruelty. I said, what is? He said, not to have a TV. I said, that's child cruelty. Yeah, that's child. I should report you. Okay. You go on with your bad self. Bruce, report me. I'm still not going to have it. And I used to watch, one of my favorite cartoons was G.I. Joe. Man, old man. Whoa. And those guys, you know, they could never get killed and they could never lose a battle. And it was always awesome because all the bullets were flying and nobody was really dying. It just, you know, the bad guys got suppressed until the next Saturday came and they showed up again. But, you know, they always had this thing that come down at the end where I forget the handsome blonde-headed guy who was the leader. I can't remember his name now. Duke, there you go. We got some G.I. Joe fans in here. Praise God. And you know, Duke would be on the scene and there'd be some little boy, some little girl, and they'd be doing something and some situation would arise and oh no. And right away, you know, Duke would tell him, here's what it is and here's what you need to do. And they'd fix it and they'd say, gee, thanks, Duke. And he'd say, and he'd give them their lesson. See, da, 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 da. And they would go, now I know. And Duke would go, and knowing is half the battle. You remember that? Knowing is half the battle. And, you know, while it was encouraging, it wasn't very instructive because, you know, knowing is half the battle, but knowing is half the battle. So, yeah, it's encouraging. Knowing's half the battle. But knowing is half the battle. See? And so I always wanted to know, what's the other half? Oh, don't end, don't go up. No, it went off again. And I watched it, you know, year in and year out of growing up as a kid until it suddenly dawned on me one day, application. That's the other half of the battle. Knowing is half the battle. Thank God for a message. Thank God for what He sent us in this day. But knowing's only half the battle. That's why Brother Branham preached hearing, recognizing, acting on the Word of God. Hallelujah! Knowing is only half the battle, my brother. Application is the other half of the battle. That token must be on display. You can't just have a basin of blood, even lamb's blood. You can't even just be circumcised. You gotta have the blood on the doorpost. It's gotta be on display. It's gotta have a voice to speak to the death angel of this day. I got so inspired some years ago, Brother Sam, at our church ministering. We were driving down the road talking about that. And Brother Sam said, yeah, see, that had a voice. Said the voice was saying to the death angel, pass on because there's already been a death in this house. Hallelujah! There's already been a death. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Move on, death angel. There's already been a death here in this house. Hallelujah! I never forgot that, Brother Sam. Oh, hallelujah! Brother Branham says, all right, you're good. Can I carry on just a little bit? So, I was struck last night, Brother Paul, talking about the complex that Brother Branham had. And, you know, he tied that, and I'd never heard that tied to 2 Corinthians 4:2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. And I thought, wow. That's exactly what a complex is. It's a fake you. And everything, and then you've got these amber colored glasses on, orange or safety color, whatever. And so everything you look at is tinted. Now you're looking at the same thing I'm looking at, but you see it differently. And that's why perception is reality. When you got a complex like that, it's very real to the person who has it. But it's a lie. That's the real key. It's a lie. I'm like my dad. I'm very positive. I'm always upbeat. I'm always looking for the silver liner. I don't really suffer depression. If I get depressed, it lasts a day and I move out of it because I don't have time for it. And that's just God's kindness to me. I'm nothing of my own self. I'm just positive minded like that. I've suffered very little complexes, maybe one in my whole life. But boy, it was a doozy. Man, oh man. I mean, that thing had a hold of me. And I was believing things that were totally not even true. And I was perceiving things that were completely upside down. And you know what happened? Just the grace of God. I'm in a meeting. And we're in Mumbai, India. And I'm there, and Brother Donnie, you were there, and Brother Ed, and Brother Ernie, and Tony, and brother from my church, and we were all over there, and we were going in different ways preaching, and Brother Donnie and Brother Ed were preaching the main convention, I think Brother Biscoe was ministering. It was Brother Biscoe ministering, it was just so simple. It wasn't thunder didn't crack, lightning didn't flash. He come to the end of his sermon and he just turned around and just said a word to me. And he didn't even know. He didn't have a clue. He just said a word and he said, da, 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 da. And when he said that, it caused me to realize. And all of a sudden, the cloud of lie just evaporated. And I just went, and I realized it was a lie. The whole thing, the whole time, I was being lied beautifully, lied to. I was so impressed with the devil. I just thought, wow, that guy is smart. Crafty, had me under this complex. And in a moment, you know how God defeated it? He just spoke a truth, just a word of truth, bang. And that thing just fractured. And I was free. And I was so free, it was indescribable how free I was. And so, you know, I do know what it is to get under that. And I can relate to Brother Branham talking about his complex, because he said he got a complex because his message got rejected. And Brother Branham had a complex, a rejection complex. Don't throw something at me. That's the truth. See, yeah, he had a complex against rejection. He was a man who loved people, and he had an inferiority thing because he was already, his family were laughed at and derided, and people would cross the street when they saw him coming. Brother Branham said, "Here I was, a young man. You think that didn't affect him?" And he said, "Well, I didn't do those things. My daddy, why are they doing that to me?" He said, "I'd walk up to somebody on the street, and if he could catch him out in a field somewhere along a creek bank fishing, they'd talk all day to him. Yeah, Billy, yeah, bluegill biting down there. But in town, if there's somebody else standing there, he'd walk up to say, 'Hey, how's the fishing going?' And they'd, 'Yeah, it's pretty good.' And just walk away. And Brother Bram said, 'Leave me standing there, embarrassed, humiliated.'" And he carried that in, you know, and now people begin to reject his ministry, and it's just, here it is. It's this rejection all over again. And I thought I'd got past it. And now it's not just in my local little mountain town. Now it's global. And I, you know, their doors are shutting and nobody wants me. And I used to preach. And, you know, when Brother Branham begins to tell the vision of the Mamba, he says he's noticed he's two-thirds of the way. You remember two-thirds of the way to Jordan? He said, "I looked back, I was two-thirds of the way," because it was representing, he'd come through first pool, second pool, and was now for the third pool, the crossing over. And here's the great, and everybody's afraid. And Brother Bram's like, "What's wrong? What's the matter? What's the matter?" And he says, "Here he come crashing through the bramble and out onto the path." And his brother, who's standing with him, said he went after him and said, "The man," he said, "I looked and he was jumping up in the air and moving around." And Brother Branham's like, oh no, it's instant death. And Brother Branham says, if it hits him, it'll kill him. And the voice of God spoke to him and said, "You've been given power to bind him." And so he says, "I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ." Y'all know the story. And it flips around into a backwards S and chokes itself out, and blue smoke goes out, turns into crystal, and he's stunned. And the voice says, "And you've been given power to loose him." And he says, "Just for an experiment now, just for a test, I loose you in the name of Jesus Christ." And the blue smoke came back in, thing became alive, uncoiled itself, and I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. And back it goes again, chokes out, blue smoke goes, it's a crystal. And the voice of God said to him, "Now, you must be more sincere than you have been. To do this, you're going to have this third pull." So Brother Branham said, I must stay true. It's very sacred. So that third pull, that's the thing I'm concentrating on. And he said, in order to do this, you must be more sincere than you have been. I thought to myself, how in the world? Here's a man who has been just the model of sincerity. God had already told him in the first and second pull, said, "Now, if you, here's the first pull, and you'll take him by the hand. And if you be sincere, it'll come to pass that you'll know the very secrets of their heart." And you know what? Sure enough, here it came, which proved his sincerity. He'd already brought cripples up. He'd already raised the dead. Who was the brother talking about? The first seven rows, just Brother Branham walking out, and just walking out, that wave rolled out across, and people just started getting up out of wheelchairs and cots and stretchers. How are you going to get more sincere? He's been around the world preaching to thousands, has had the dead have been raised multiple times. indisputable power of God loosed in every direction. People coming from every direction. Here's a man so sincere. He stood in a pulpit for 3 solid days and prayed for people that went out and out the down the wall, out the door and out the block and for city blocks. People, hospitals emptying out. And here he is. And when he gets so tired, he'd sit down at the pulpit and lean over and take a nap. And while the people would just stand here and wait on him to wake up. And then he'd wake up and they'd give him a sandwich and a little glass of milk. And he'd clear his head and start praying for more people. And stood there 3 days doing that. And thousands of people delivered. How are you going to get more sincere than that? But he's got to be more sincere. See, the only way, Brother Branham, the only real way you can be more sincere than what he had already been is here, Brother Branham has got to see this complex of negativity defeated once and for all. He's got to, in other words, Brother Branham's got to get over himself. You can't get your line tangled up, not just with preachers, but with complexes and with this trouble and that problem. You can't doubt me anymore. You can't allow yourself. It's not given to you. I've called you to a high office and I've not privileged you to allow that in your life. I remember preaching a sermon. I think I preached it at your house, pal, at your church, about reserved unto Christ. Because the Lord dealt with me as a pastor. And you know, pastors, you usually kind of want to kill about 25% of your people. And you know, you bellyache and you whine and cry. And one day I was just blubbering and snotting. Lord, why, you know, this is, why don't you just, you know, and the Lord said, what do you want me to do to them? You want me to kill them? No, don't kill them, but do something and, you know, just make them go away. Well, if they go away, where are they going to get help? Oh, I don't know. What do you want from me anyway? And, you know, and I love people. And I don't like to be rejected and I don't like this kind of, don't feel good, Lord. Oh, and I just bellyache and giving God the what for and for who wouldn't have it. And oh, my, and just driving down the road in my truck and all of a sudden I think Jehovah Eagle just got tired of the chatter, chatter, chatter. I'm here to tell you something, friends. You know, you as a minister especially, you know when the presence of God gets really close and the Lord come down and sit beside me in my truck and here I am trying to drive. And the Lord just said to me, and it wasn't said in a nice way. It was very intimidating. And the Lord said, who do you think you are? I own you. And this, at this point, I'm starting to dry my tears. Yes, that's right. I bought you. You're my property. I completely own you. You're not, I put a gift, I called you to this office. You're a minister to help people. I saved your life. I died for you. You're complete. Your inheritance is secure in heaven. I haven't granted to you to act like this. Other people might get by. Laity, you know, a minister don't get to decide anything. Just let me speak to my ministering brothers. I found out you don't get to decide anything. You don't get no choices. You don't get to choose where you live. I sure wouldn't live where I live. You don't get to choose where you go. You don't get to choose what you do. You don't get to choose what you say, what you preach. You don't even get to choose what you think. You have been called. You have been gifted. You've been put in a ministry. And God needs you clean and clear of all guile and all deceit and all lies and all complexes. And God just said, I have reserved you and you will serve me in purity. And I just, by this time I'm saying, yes, Lord, I'm crying real tears of repentance. I'll never do it again. I'm sorry. I'll never complain. I'll serve you to my dying breath. And if I go down, I'll go down standing up with a sword in my hand. And I realize, friends, that it's not just ministers. It's every man who's called and every man is in a leadership position. And you are reserved unto Christ and he has called you to fly above these things. Not in the, as the scripture said, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And Brother Branham had to increase his sincerity. He had to defeat this complex. He couldn't keep going. He realized it was dishonest. When you're living a complex, you're living a lie unintentionally. You're living a lie. Because you're not, you know, it's like when I raised my sons, I said, now listen, guys, remember, when you're out in public, your life testifies of me, how I raised you. Don't go out there and live contrary, because then people will believe something wrong about me. They'll believe, oh, he must allow that, when I don't. I've taught you against it. And if they see you doing it, you're going to live a lie that's going to come back and be against me. And so it's living a lie unintentionally. And God had convicted him. And he went to prayer and he repented. And he went to his wife and he repented. And he went to the church and he repented. This third pull was too sacred to keep allowing it to go unchecked, uncontested in his walk. He began to earnestly contend for greater sincerity in his life. That's why he said, whatever it takes. I'll never be negative or anything anymore to blast my heart out in them. Remind me, no matter what it costs, be sincere and down to the bottom of it. You know, when Brother Branham, I'm approaching the end. Okay, I've made this is my last turn to the finish line. You still with me? When Brother Branham takes Masterpiece, and I think it's not the only time he uses this terminology, but that may stand correction. But he talks about a symphony. And he says, you know, there's a conductor, there's a great composer. And the composer has a conductor. And that conductor is conducting the music. And there's people, there's an orchestra, there's a symphony of people who are playing. And everyone's playing their individual part. And Brother Branham kept interchanging. He'd say, God's great sympathy. And you're like, oh, Brother Branham, you know, he meant symphony. And there was times when he said symphony. But then he kept coming back, sympathy. And then he'd say, wait, am I saying, I mean, and somebody would say symphony. He'd go, yeah, sympathy. Until I began to study, you know, what that has an actual meaning. And the Holy Spirit was showing both realities, that you can have a symphony, you can have an orchestra, and you can have this beautiful work, but there's got to be a sympathy in all of the parties. There's got to be, the conductor's got to understand the sympathy, the whole, and the people have to be, and all of their instruments have to be in sympathy one with another, and they've got to be in sympathy in sympathy and in harmony. Now, at the risk of going over too far on time, but I want to just read two short things for you. So when we talk about sympathy in music, so this is just a quick, and I'm not an expert, so I had to find an expert, and this is from Oxford House Publishing, and it's called Sympathy, A History, and it's edited by a great scholar. And he says, all right, so here's what it is. The phenomenon, all right, so let me say it again. Already in antiquity, musicians observed that the strings of an instrument can vibrate without being touched. For example, if two strings are tuned at the unison and we pluck one of them, the second string will respond to the vibration, producing the same sound. This phenomenon is known as sympathetic resonance or sympathetic vibration. All right, now, so it goes on to say, and I don't need to read any more from there. All right, so then we find that Francis Bacon, in his work of 1627, Silva Silvarium, or A National History in 10 Centuries, he talks about how that he begins to speak about an instrument that they believe was a precursor to the viola d'amore, which was a type of unfettered, unfretted viola with a flat back and sloping shoulders that became popular between the end of the 17th and century and beginning of the 18th. And so it talks about a version of it that was with that there was one with sympathetic strings and one without. And the one with sympathetic strings, the viola d'amore, usually had 6 or 7 bowed strings running along the fingerboard, as in a regular viola. And 6 or 7 resonating strings running beneath the fingerboard and through holes in the bridge. And the resonating strings prolong the sound's decay time. All right, so when you begin to look at this word of sympathy, and so the greatest question comes. Now listen, I'm on my last, this is my last leg to the finish. So the greatest question for us today in this, the age of great lying, the greatest question for us men today is not doctrinal accuracy or religious fervor. Brother Paul, I think, was talking about keeping that in balance, because the accuracy of doctrine is important. It's not that it's not important. And you want to have religious, you want to be zealous for sure. But that's not the main thing, because Brother Branham says Satan doesn't care how religious you are. And he doesn't care how, catch it, how right you are in your doctrine. Because what he knows is that if you miss that life, you won't come up anyway. See? So the question is my life in sympathy with the sheet music? Is there a harmonious, does my life resonate with the great one who wrote the music? See? I don't want to keep telling myself, listen friends, I'm really coming out of the heart of my sermon. I don't want to keep telling myself the lie that a lack of fervency doesn't matter. That, you know, I don't want to be a fanatic, and mediocrity and carnality is fine. I mean, God understands. God is sympathetic. Yeah, he understands all right. He understands you need to stop living that way. God has sympathy, but not the doty grandpa type. He has a sheet music of his word and a sympathetic rhythm in the music. Hallelujah! And Brother Branham alludes to that, how that, you know, when a trumpet sounds and a war is declared, and Paul declared war on the Orthodox Church for rejecting and not believing the messianic sign that Jesus produced. And it comes in the sixth seal and picks it up again. A trumpet sound, war declared, away they go. And then the messenger dies, seals away this group they put in, and a plague falls upon those who reject it, and just moves on. And so what we have is a trumpet sounding in this day, and a war is declared, and a message goes out, and a messenger in the earth catches the message, and he begins to play the sheet music to the bride of this age. Are you part of that bride? There's an elect lady of her day who began to run in sympathy with the message, and it manifested a life. It manifested a life that was resonating with the composer. A life, a testimony, a zeal that resonated with the composer. Listen, friends, here's an amazing part. Because in this instrument that I described to you, so you've got the strings on top, and then down below, through holes, you've got strings on the bottom. And when the ones on top are plucked, the ones on the bottom vibrate. And so whatever the heavenly realm plucked, a messenger caught it in the earth and went out into the people. Hallelujah! God had a messenger standing on the earth who was tuned in the right way. And when God plucked a note on the sheet music, a messenger started vibrating. And I didn't read you the science of it, how that it sends energy waves through the air. And it's an energy that strikes the and resonates on these. It's almost like magic. They even talk about how the whole earth has a symbiotic relationship in this way. Everything resonates. And so now, what good is it just to have a messenger if there's not a people, if there's not a kingdom? And that's why when I hear that prophet scream, the whole world thinks of it as a noise, but something starts moving me. Hallelujah! And I start seeking righteousness and holiness. I start getting rid of complexes. And God is saying, come up higher, John. Come up out of those ages. Come up into a new day. And my whole life just starts vibrating. People say, what's the matter with you? I don't know. Something's moving me. Hallelujah. And do you realize, friends, the uniqueness of this day? That's the pattern that was all down through the ages. But in this hour, the message of the hour is Revelation 18:4. Come out of her, my people. That's the message. Say, what is the message? Revelation 18:4. That's the message. Come out of her. Malachi 4 is how he's going to do it. Revelation 18:4 is the message. Come out of her, my people. And Brother Branham shows in the scripture. And this is beautiful. Because Brother Branham says, now look, notice that the one who said it was the earthly angel. And when the earthly angel declared, come out of her, my people, that this earthly angel was in such in tune with the heavenly messenger that when the earth, in this time, it's distinctive from all other ages because Christ is now out of his church. That's unique. And now it's a time where the angel on the earth is saying, come out of her, my people. And there's such a harmony between him and the heavenly messenger that the heavens echo it. It's not coming from there to here because the mighty angel has now descended and is tabernacling himself in flesh. Hallelujah. And now it's not the top coming down. It's our lives are being moved by the gospel. And heaven is echoing your life. You say, I'm a believer. And heaven is saying, you're a believer. Hallelujah. I'm done with mediocrity. And heaven is saying, you're done with mediocrity. I'm done with lying. You're done with lying. I'm going to serve God. You're going to serve God. This is the hour, my friends. We're not waiting on a rapture to start. It has already begun. You're being transitioned to another realm. Brother Branham, when he sees that bride, and it's notable to him, the preview of the bride, and he said there she was, bunch of sainted little girls, smooth, clean, marching to the step, to the beat, to the rhythm, to the harmony. She's in sympathy. She's marching to the step of the gospel. They're all in sympathy. The problem was that a few of them at the back of the line begin to get out of step. They begin to get out of harmony. They begin to not vibrate right anymore. They begin to, there's no sympathy. They're not in a sympathetic resonance with, and Brother Branham, here, Brother Branham, he just come through one of the most humiliating. Oh my, he said, you don't know, friends, how I felt standing there. And he's right over my shoulder talking to me. And he said, I looked and here comes Miss America. And he says, I couldn't even look. I bowed my head and he's humiliated. He said, I was so embarrassed to think all of our effort and all that we've done is just the best we could do. I don't even want to face him. I can't even, oh, he's talking to me. I just wish I would just go out of existence. And then he hears the voice. The bride must come into view again. And he said, I hear a sound, something like, onward, Christian soldiers. And I began to look, and here come that sainted bunch of little girls. Let me tell you something, friends, when two or three of them at the back of the line, right here at the last day, began to get out of resonance, Brother Branham had just suffered the most humiliating moment of his life, and he went from humiliation to jubilation. He went to euphoria in a moment. He was having a jubilee, and when he saw those little girls doing that, he was not about to let that thing go back again, and he said, get back in step. Get back in step. And he said, I come to myself in the room and I was screaming, get back in step. I'm here to tell you something, friends. That's the message that I have for us today. Stay in line. Get back in step. A life of carnality, of mediocrity, is not a sympathetic life with Christ. That non-harmonic life is stating a falsehood about the character of He who called you. We need true voices in this age. People, I'll say this to you, people whose lives will play out the melody, "I do always that which pleases the Father." Why don't you stand up with me? Have the musicians return. A life of harmony. Who was it? Brother Gideon leading singing? Who was leading singing? Okay, wonderful. Can I sing that song, "In Christ Alone I Place My Trust, Find My Glory in the Power of the Cross"? You know that? Yeah, let's have that. Amen. Amen. A life, friends. A sermon like this gets very personal. It's very personal to me. Because it answers an echo down inside my soul. I forget now, as we were saying, it's hard to tell who said what. One of the fantastic preachers talked about this statement. It might have been Brother Sam, and talked about that deep desire. I want purity. I want honesty. I want integrity. I want to be a man. I want to be a man after the image of God. I don't want to allow mediocrity and carnality in my life. Stop living the lie, brothers. Why don't you just raise up a hand to God today to say, "Lord, I'm done with dishonesty. I'm done with that, Lord. I want to be honest before you. I realize that this third pull is the Word made flesh again. And I want it to be made flesh in me. I want it to be made flesh in my home, in my family, my children, at my church." Oh, my friends, what an hour that we face. What a possibility is before you. I'm going to pray for you, and all these hands up everywhere. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I've poured my heart out, Father, as best I knew, and followed you at every moment. Lord, even things that I had thought that I would say myself, I just disregarded them. I just wanted to hear what you had to say, Lord. I know this thought came from you. And I know that it spoke to hearts. I know it spoke to mine. It spoke to me as I studied it. It spoke to me as I preached it. But Lord God, why are we here? What's the purpose of it? Why have we come together if we're just going to try to leave in the same way that we came? May that not be. I know by the prophet that actually can't happen. You leave better or worse. And so I want to leave better, Lord. Master, we know that there are two very similar words in the English language. One is effect and one is effect. One is spelled with an A and one is spelled with an E. And to be affected with an A, we can hear a sermon and my, it can tickle our ears and put goosebumps on our flesh and make us stance and shout and run and holler. But Lord, it's just an effect. But when you effect something, you don't just affect it, you effect change. And so I don't want to myself, and I don't want these men to just leave here affected. I want them to be affected. I want to see effective change take place in my life. Lord, you know, from the bottom of my heart, with all possible sincerity before you, I want to see my life more in harmony, more in resonance, more when the Word says Jesus Christ is Savior, stay in forever. I want my life to vibrate that. When the Word says flee youthful lust, I want my life to vibrate that. When the world says that, when a prophet tells me that Christ should be the center of my whole life, said, don't make him in second place. Put him in first. He don't want to be second. He don't deserve to be second. He deserves to be first. So I pray, Master, today that you will help us now. Let the Word be effective to us. Let it alter our path. It's a flight path, Lord. It leads from here back to glory. I want to leave a path that points to Jesus Christ. Lord, this message is so much more than words on a tape, recorded words or in a book. It's so much more to us than that. We thank you for a prophet, but the message is about so much more than just a prophet. The message is more than just new doctrine or correcting the errors of denominationalism. It's more than that. It's about a person tabernacling himself, the Son of Man, the third pull, the Word made flesh. It wasn't birds, it was angels. It's a ministry of a Son of Man. It was important to the prophet to note it. It's important to us to observe it. So I pray now today, as I close, Lord, I feel satisfied. That's up to you now. As you move on the hearts of these men, I give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing.
I place my trust and find my glory in the power of
Lord. Hallelujah.
In every victory.
Let it be said of me.
Let it be said.
Is that your desire today? Hallelujah. Could your life say that? My source of strength. My source of hope.
My source of hope
is Christ alone.
Is Christ,
Christ alone. None of me, none of you. Christ alone.
In Christ alone.
Sing it, brothers. Come on, lift up your voices.
I place my trust and find my glory.
Hallelujah.
In the power of the
Lord. Oh, if you want prayer today, as one brother, just get prayer. If you want prayer, we'd be happy to pray for you.
Victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope, in Christ alone, oh, in Christ alone, I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross.
Hallelujah.
In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope, is Christ alone. One more time. Oh, in Christ alone, I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. Oh, in every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, hallelujah, oh, my source of hope
is Christ.
Christ.
One second, brother, one second. Just keep playing that for me. Listen, here's a good idea. Just carry on, brothers, that's fine. Here's a good idea. Why don't we all come up here and gather around as a family of men? I know these brothers have come up here because, you know, no man can bring a man like this. It takes the Word to do that. But you know, what better way to get to respond to all of these services and all of these meetings and all of this ministry? And God has poured it on us richly and abundantly. I think we ought to just come together, put our arms one around another, lay hands on one another. You brothers, reach forward on the front, lay hands on these brothers kneeling. Just reach your hands down and join them right here. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we're binding together, Lord. We're coming together, joining all of our faith together as one bank of faith. Lord, brothers of like precious faith, we're calling Jesus on the scene. We want you to move, Lord, on behalf of these needs today. The Word, Lord, has found us out today. And we have honest and sincere hearts who are standing here. No altar call was made. Just men, grown men, getting up, defying gravity, walking forward to say, God, I need what your Word spoke today. I need what your Word has instructed me today. Father, do it. Grant it to us, I pray in Jesus' name. Let there be fresh surrender in all of our lives, Lord. Let there be a fresh surrender and a fresh surge of the Holy Spirit of God upon all of our lives, Lord. Let there be a renewing of the Holy Ghost in our minds today, Lord. Grant it, God, that you be renewed in your minds by a renewing of the Holy Ghost. Grant it to us, young and old alike, Master. Let it be that moment where all the Word, all that's been planted, all the seed of the gospel that has been sown, let it take root right now, God. Oh, pour the Holy Spirit upon that seed, oh God. Don't let the enemy, don't let the fowls of the air pluck it up and carry it away. Oh God, plant it deep into the hearts of the men today. We want to be honest. We want to have integrity. We want to be full of zeal, full of righteousness. Grant it, Lord, away with complex, away with mediocrity, away with carnality. We're done with it, Lord. I want my life to vibrate the full measure of God's Word today. Grant it, Lord. We thank you for this, Lord God. We thank you. Oh, brothers, let's raise up our hands and let's give him a wave now to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let me lift up those men's voices and say, thank you, Jesus. Make it echo. Heaven is listening. Oh, let it be echoed in heaven what we're saying on the earth today. Blessed be the name of the Lord forever. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Oh, glory to God in the highest. The worthy one. The worthy one. Oh, we love you today, Master. We love you. We love you with all of our hearts. With everything within us, Lord. We love you with a great love. With a great love, Lord. Do you love him today, friends? Hallelujah. Can we sing, Brother Matthew? Brother Barry was singing it before I came out. It's Jesus I Really Want to See. Amen. It's Jesus I really want to see. It's Jesus I really want to see. Where do you want to see him? Say, in my life, in my home. It's Jesus. In my business. In every facet of my life. It's Jesus I really want to see. I don't like me. I don't want to see me. I want to see him. More I see of this world, oh, the less it means to me. Oh, it's Jesus I really want. Oh, my. If you're tired of being Jacob, if you're tired of being Jacob, sing it. Oh, it's Jesus. Say, Lord, I don't want to be Jacob anymore. I want to be Israel now, Lord. I want to have my whole mind changed, my whole heart refreshed today. It's Jesus I really want to see. Yes, my Lord. More I see of this world, all the less.
Sing it again now one more time. Make it your prayer. Oh, it's Jesus I really want to see. It's Jesus I really want to see. And the more this world, the less it means to me. For it's Jesus that I really want to see. Praise the Lord. And all God's people said,
amen.
Praise the Lord. What a wonderful ending. What a wonderful finale. What a wonderful moment just to step into. 12,329. Hey, George. Let me leave you with this one thing, and then we're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to close and let you go. September 27th was the 50th anniversary, a jubilee of the 1967 war where Israel took possession of the land completely. In that celebration, a very low-key celebration they had in Israel, they had several dignitaries who were there, and the prime minister was there, and the education minister, Naftali Bennett, got up. And he made a statement. He made a little comment there. And his comments were taken from the book of Ecclesiastes. And in his comments, he emphasized that the position that the Israelis held, the territories that they held since conquering in 1967, listen, that the land that they had conquered since 1967, it is our property by right and not by charity. As sons, we have returned to our own land, not as foreign invaders. Even if there's opposition in the world, we will surmount it.
Amen.
Even if there's opposition, we will surmount it. Because this is not anyone's land but our land. They're recognizing their position as sons of God. And you know what they are? They are sowers in the field with the reapers of the Gentiles moving out of the field. In the same field, the sowers are moving right in, according to the book of Amos back there. It's just incredible. It's just exciting how here's God wrapping it up with the Gentiles and moving the Gentile bride out. And this is the moving out. This is the ushering out of the Gentile bride. The Jews are right there saying, this is our land. All ready to pick up the banner that we leave as we leave here. Brother Donnie, would you come and just close in a word of prayer? I'm so glad that God is bringing us to this realization of His grace and His mercy. Bringing us to this realization. I hate to close it. We got to close. They're shutting down the facility down there. They've made lunch for us. They're all ready, and I hate to close. But let's just take this moment with us and Just say, Lord, I don't want it just to be nice services. I want my life now to be marked by this and changed by this. Brother Donnie.
Let's bow our heads together, brothers. May God go with each of you in your home, back to your church, your family. May the things that you've heard transform your lives. Father, we thank you today for this wonderful time, for this wonderful gathering. We thank you for Brother Barry, Lord. The shoulders that's carried so much of the burden during this whole thing. We ask that you just go with our brothers now. Give them peace. May these words just ring in our hearts. May we do as sheep do, and that is ruminate on those things, Lord. We'll look back one day when we sit at that table. We'll take our hands across the other, and you'll wipe the tears from our eyes. We'll remember these grand times. Go with us now. Keep us by your grace, we ask. In Jesus' name.
Sing it as you go. Shake one another's hands. I go to the rock. Let's sing it together. I go to the rock of my salvation. Go to the stone that the builders rejected. Mountain and the mountain stands by me. Go directly to lunch. Go directly to lunch. Don't collect your $200. Go to lunch. I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. Go to the stone that the builders rejected.